Adele may well be the hottest singer in the world at the moment, and that is all because of her new album, her second, called 21. She won multiple Grammys, including Best New Artist for her debut, 19. We have performances today from Adele on stage at World Cafe Live, but I also had a chance to sit and talk with her and started by asking the now 22-year-old what her 21st year was like, because from the album it sounds like it was really something.
I had the most amazing relationship that I've ever had. It was like the most poignant and most important relationship, like including friendship and family relationships, just the most important person in my life. And he came along at the perfect time as well. And I needed rescuing a little bit. I mean, I needed my bubble to be burst a bit. And it was incredible. And he was older than anyone I've ever dated, as you guys said. Not, he wasn't like 40 or anything. He was my age, but you know, and he'd just seen a lot more of the world and just exposed me to a lot more feelings than I'd ever had. And he just made me want to know about everything and be a bit of a sponge. And we did everything together, and it just changed my outlook on life in general. So I came of age with him.
Now, when you listen to 19, you don't like that guy you're writing about there. He seems like that was not, but this didn't necessarily end quite so badly.
No, 21. His name isn't 21. 21, he's a nice guy. No, we just fell out of love, which was made it more devastating than having something to blame it on, because I just felt like such a failure for not making something work. But at the same time, for the first time, I realised I deserved a little bit better and don't need to be miserable for someone else's happiness. But he was great. Like, when we were great, we were, like, phenomenal. But when we were bad, it was just sour.
Which brings me to this song called Don't You Remember, which is a song written after a relationship, but really about the best parts of it. And when did this song come?
This was the very last song I wrote.
Really?
I was in Malibu, yes. I wrote it in April of last year. And the bulk of the record, there's about 17 songs that I wrote altogether, and there's only like 11 or 12 that have got the light of day. With the record now, it's been like being released and stuff. But I wrote the bulk of it in December and January. So there was a big gap between when I wrote the bulk and wrote that one. And it was just, I was tired of painting him in such a bad light. And I'm still very fond of him. And it's important to me that I articulated that in a couple of songs on this record.
Now, there's one song on here that your voice is a little more ragged than other. I forget if it's this one or someone like you. One of them, and you even comment, I've heard you comment on the fact that...
Oh, yeah, someone like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cry at the end.
Yeah.
My voice goes.
And you mentioned something on stage. You actually lost your voice.
Yeah, I did. When I recorded Don't You Remember, I sang it so hard in the studio, the recording that it is, that I lost my voice for about 7 months.
Wow.
I had laryngitis, and it came back up recently as well. When I had it before, it was all right because I weren't touring and I wasn't doing promo. But recently, when it came back up in January, it was a week before my album came out in England.
Wow.
So it's pretty worrying.
You were lucky.
I know, I had to sit with a chalkboard around my neck.
That's funny. Texting everybody.
Yeah.
This is Don't You Remember.
Leave. about where I went wrong. And the more I do, well, the less I know. But I know I have a fickle heart and a bitterness and a wandering eye and heaviness in my head. But don't you remember?
Don't you remember Adele on stage at World Cafe Live doing a really nice version of that, which you will also find on 21. Is that the one you worked on with Dan Wilson on?
Yeah, I worked on Don't You Remember Someone Like You and One and Only with Dan Wilson, but me and Dan flew to Malibu.
Wow.
For us to try and write another song together, and that Don't You Remember came out of it.
There's a lot of people, Rick Rubin included, Paul Epworth, mm-hmm. And others that you bounce things off of that you work with. Is that hard to do? Because these songs seem so close to the bone.
I actually found it a lot easier this time. Like, I collaborated a little bit on the first album, and I've always felt quite uncomfortable with it for some reason that I'm unaware of. And on this one, it was a very conscious decision to collaborate more because I'm limited as a musician, you know. I can write lyrics until I'm blue in the face, but I only know 4 chords, so I would have written 19.2 had I written it all on my own. And I'm throwaway with my material. If I can't remember something quickly, if I can't finish it quickly, I dispose of it.
Ah.
And when I work with other people, they tend to catch it and make it into something that is surprising to me and, like, that holds my attention and stuff. And I had to over-involve every single one of them in my relationship. I'd met them all before I broke up with the guy the record's about, so they saw me when I was, like, euphoric and ecstatic with my relationship, and then they'd see me when I was, like, falling on my knees crying, and they had to be part of that to help me create this album. And I needed support emotionally and musically for it. And they were all perfect. And they're still checking with me. I spoke to Rick the other day, and he was just checking in that I was still sane.
That's good. You do one from 19 in our set here. Do you have to emotionally connect to these songs every time you do them? I'm just wondering if one can do that.
Sometimes, yeah. The new ones, I can't help but sort of be emotionally connected to them. The old ones... sometimes I can't, because otherwise it's just emotionally draining.
Yeah.
But I definitely connected with Chasing Pavements today, just because I'm, you know, especially when I'm in America, I love singing Chasing Pavements, because it was, you know, in England and stuff, it was a few songs. In Europe, it was a few songs that broke me, whereas Chasing Pavements is what broke me here. So I love singing it when I'm here.
It's Chasing Pavements.
I've made up my mind, don't need to think it over. If I'm wrong, I am right. Don't need to look no further, this ain't lust. I know this is love. But if I tell the world that I'm I'll never see enough, 'cause it was not said to you, and that's exactly what I need to do if I end up with you. Should I give up, or should I just keep chasing pavements, even if it leads nowhere? Or would it be a waste even if I knew my place? Should I leave it there? Should I give up, or should I just keep chasing pavements, even if it leads nowhere? I build myself up, then I fly around in circles waiting as my heart drops and my back begins to tingle. Finally, could this be it? Or should I give up? Or should I just keep chasing pavement? Should I give up, or should I just keep chasing pavements, even if it leads no way? Oh, would it be a waste, even if I knew my place? Should I leave it there? Should I give up, or should I just keep on chasing pavements? Should I just keep on chasing pavements? Oh, should I give up, or should I just keep chasing pavements, even if it leads nowhere? Or would it be a waste, even if I knew my place? Should I leave it there? Should I give up, or should I just keep chasing sidewalks, even if it leads nowhere? Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Chasing pavements or chasing sidewalks. I love how you translate. For us here, Chasing Pavements, Adele. If you know Adele, you know that song, mm-hmm. as she says here in the U.S., and that's from 19. She's got a new one called 21, and there are a couple of songs on here. I really love this record, but there's a couple that are just so emotionally to the point, and one of them is Someone Like You. And if you ever, as you say, have been in love with someone, at the end, you kind of naturally worry, is this going to happen again? Is this going to happen? And Someone Like You sort of addresses that, but it seems a little bit like it's in the future or.
Well, he's got a new partner, a girlfriend now, and I heard they're engaged. I don't know if they are. And I've never been bothered when, like, I've only had like 3 boyfriends. I have been bothered when I found out my exes have got new girlfriends, but I felt like killing myself when I found out that he met this other girl, and it wasn't even like he replaced me quickly. You know, it was a while. It was a long time. I didn't even leave the house for quite a while either. But I've never been so gutted in my life. I felt like all of my organs had been kind of taken out of me. And it was my response to that. And it was just me imagining, like, still loving him in about 10 years and going along, and he's married her and they've got kids and stuff like that. But it's coming to terms with it as well. It was sort of, I had to write that song, and I had the first verse for ages in London, and then I couldn't finish it because it was just too heartbreaking. And then I explained it to Dan, and I sang it to Dan, and Dan sort of channeled my emotions into his past and tried to think of a memory, and then it ended up being, and I felt completely free once I'd written it. I was kind of at ease with it, and I was happy for him.
So you can't write something you haven't gone through?
No, I've tried. I've tried to write movies sort of inspired by like a movie that's moved me, or a book that's moved me, or even another song that's moved me. I try and kind of elaborate the story, how I interpret it. But I don't believe myself. And the most important thing to me is that I'm a believed artist, because the artists that I love convince me that a song that they're singing 50 years ago is about me. Do you know what I mean? So it's really important. And if I can't convince myself, then I'm doomed, really.
Well, I'm really happy to hear you wrote this first verse, because the first verse just knocks me out on this one. This is
it's definitely
like
the
you.
Most articulate song I've ever written.
Sometimes it hurts instead.
Thank you very much.
Someone Like You, that is Adele, live on stage at World Cafe Live, and that is one of the new songs from the new album, 2021. I want to talk a little bit about music and what happened. You went on tour here, in, as you say, in the U.S. for quite a while, and I heard you ended up listening to some things you never heard before.
Yeah, my bus driver and my tour manager, B. Haley and Zop. It's important to me that I have like familiarity around me because I get so homesick. So I had the same driver and the same tour manager and same crew and everything for the whole thing. And B was from Nashville in Tennessee. And look, I know you know where Nashville is. It's just in English. In England, I have to say, yeah, Nashville's in Tennessee, guys. Yeah, and I used to have to go up in front of the bus with him. And he'd be listening to this amazing music that I'd never heard. And he could just see it on my face. I was like, what is this? Who is this? What is it about? Where are they from? When is it from? Whatever. And he started making me compilations. And the thing that really shocked him was when he said, oh, this is Garth Brooks. And I said, who's Garth Brooks? He was like, oh, no. So he made me a compilation. But it's just not part of our culture in England like it is here. Do you know what I mean? It's not that we don't like it. We just haven't heard it.
Right.
And I just, I felt like a four-year-old in a candy shop. I love it. I just love how honest it is and I listen to a lot of trendy music. I'm not saying the country's not trendy, but I listen to a lot of like new rave and kind of like, do you know what I mean? Like real sort of cool kid music. And after 9 minutes, I'm thinking, what the hell is this song about? And country music, because even in the first like couple of bars, it's like, oh, right, yeah, he's gone to the pub, he's going to shoot his wife or something like that, do you know what I mean? Or like, it's like, her husband's left her or something. And it's just, I bonded with it the minute I started kind of hearing all these mixtapes and compilations that people were making me. And then I went to this CMT Artist of the Year. Lady Antebellum asked me to sing Need You Now of Darius Rucker. And it was amazing to be in a room with such like a wealth of talent and there not be one ego in the room. It was right. The most amazing. It's just like everyone just respects each other, loves what each other, like loves what everyone does. I felt so like, took my breath away when I was there. I loved it.
God, that sounds great. And so were there older things on his tapes too, or mostly newer things? Or
there was all sorts of stuff. There was like early Dolly Parton. I had no idea Dolly Parton was so dark. Oh my God, yeah.
Gothic,
yeah. The stuff that I was aware of was 9 to 5, and like Jolene's dark, but like, and I Will Always Love You, which I only ever found out she wrote because I think I Wikipedia'd the song when I was little from Whitney, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Carter family. I've always been obsessed with June Carter. I think she's like iconic. I've always loved her and always known of her just because Johnny Cash is one of those artists. It's just kind of in your DNA, a bit like Marvin Gaye and stuff like that. But the Carter family, like, yeah, old stuff, new stuff. Because I've only ever been known of the commercial crossover ones like Shania Twain and Leanne Rimes and Faith Hill and Taylor Swift now, you know. I love them as well, don't get me wrong, but like, that's all I was ever aware of.
The first song we heard from 21 is a really great song called Rolling in the Deep. And this was one, you had a number of producers on here. And, we talked a little bit about how, in fact, you work with Rick Rubin. But you also worked with Paul Epworth, who you might have to talk a little bit about who he is for American audiences, because he's worked with a lot of British artists.
Yeah, he's worked with a lot of great British artists. He's a British producer and he's writing a lot more now than he ever did. I think the breakthrough record for him, he's been doing it for years and he used to be in a band when he was younger, but he did Block Party's Silent Alarm album, did Maximo Park's album, he did a bit of Sam Sparrow's Black and Gold. In fact, he wrote and produced that with Sam, I think. Recently did Florence and the Machine, he's done Chapel Club, Japanese, he's done loads. Plan B, he's like massive in the UK.
None of this sounds like what you do.
Well, this is the thing, right? So he's known for being pretty indie, like alternative, and in England especially I'm very pop, and I met him because he produced Jack Pignatti's second record, and Jack's one of my best mates, so I went in and did some BVs, and he just cracked me up. I loved him. I like laughing and I like trying to make people laugh, and we just got on like a house on fire. And then his studio was 5 minutes from where I lived, and my manager was like, do you want to go and see if you can work, like, write a song together? And I was like, oh yeah, whatever, didn't expect anything, thought we'd just go to the pub. Ended up writing Rolling in the Deep, finishing it. Again, I had that for a while, couldn't finish it. And we wrote He Won't Go in the first session, which was about 5 hours long. And we just bonded straight away. He's the most, he's got so many ideas, it's absurd. But he's also, he's written on the CeeLo Green album. There's another girl, I can't remember her name. Her mum did makeup for Michael Jackson. What's her name? Sky Ferreira?
Mm-hmm.
Did
her,
so it's crossing over. Katy Perry was going to work with him. It's crossing over now. He's getting a lot more like American, you know?
Right, yeah, right.
But he's brilliant, yeah.
Well, really, now what form did, when you say you wrote this together, it didn't sound like this when you wrote it, did it? Or did you?
I had the first verse a cappella. There was no music. Mm. There was no music. The first verse in the pre, I had a cappella. But I knew I wanted this massive stomping, like, raucous, boisterous production, and I'm limited. Originally I was going to go to someone else with the idea, and I just sang it to Paul, and it was perfect.
And this is Rolling in the Deep.
There is a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare. See how I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There is a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had it all. Rolling in the deep. You have my heart inside of your hands, and you played it to the beach. Hey, baby, I have no story to be told, but I've heard one on you. Now I'm gonna make your head burn. Think of me in the depths of your despair. Make a home down there, it's a mine sure won't be shared. The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had. What you look for, and turn my sorrow into treasured gold. You pay me back and kind of reap just what you sow. We could have had it all. We could have had it all. Yes, it all.
That on 21, the new album from Adele, but that is a special live World Cafe version on stage at World Cafe Live. And Adele, congratulations. I don't know if you're going to stay on the odd numbers forever, but we'll check with you in a couple of years. That wasn't your idea, right? You didn't.
It wasn't meant to be. No, it was just following me. 19 was obviously on purpose, but I didn't want to call it 21. And I was going to call it Rolling in the Deep, but numbers are universal, you know. And it's because I really did come of age. 21 is a very poignant age everywhere, so it was the only thing that fitted it. But I don't know if it, unless life, something really great in life happens between this and the next record, it won't be my age.
Thank you so much for
being
here.
Thank you.